comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, a place where you actually matter. Well, there was another earthquake over in Haiti. I guess you know about that. 6.1. And, you know, it's pretty interesting to listen to all of the reports about that, and you hear something different. You hear a different set of facts that purport to be about the same thing if you watch one newscast and then a newscast on another channel and then read it online and then read it in the newspaper. You get all this jumble of facts. One of the jumbled facts has to do with how much difference is there between a 6.1 earthquake and a 7-point earthquake. Well, on one newscast, I heard them say that a 6.1 earthquake and a 7-point earthquake the 7-point is 24 times stronger. And then I read a report online that said it's 10 times stronger. Tomorrow night, we're going to have our open line show, and I'm going to be talking about jumbled up facts at the beginning of the show. Jumbled up facts. In the United Nations IPCC report about global warming. Now, this is not my opinion. These are glaring, glaring, glaring errors. Many of these were caught by the scientists themselves who were said to have written this report. Pretty interesting stuff. If you're not subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, be sure you do. The K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, and we'll be sending it out beginning Friday evening, so you've got time, if you haven't subscribed yet, to become subscribed. And it is free. There are no strings attached. You can unsubscribe whenever you decide you want to unsubscribe. And we encourage you to do that. We encourage you to subscribe because it contains news about the show and it contains news about things in the world, happening in the world, that are within the genre that we talk about on this show. So it'll help keep you all up to date, informed, and in the know. And it's much better to be in the know than in the not know. It's much better to be in the light than the dark. And it's pretty fantastic e-zine. Of course, you expect me to say that because it's from the Kevin Smith Show. But seriously, even if I were not Kevin Smith, I would subscribe to that K-Files and would be glad to do so. All right, we'll be back right after this. Back in 1997, I'm sorry, 1999, an event took place here in the Phoenix, Arizona area that has come to be known worldwide as the Phoenix Lights. For some people, when we say Phoenix, Arizona, they think about desert, cactus, really hot summers. Some people, you say Phoenix, Arizona, they think about the Phoenix Lights. And I think probably within the genre of this show, within the audience of this show, when we say Phoenix, that's most likely what you think about. You think about the Phoenix Lights. And truly, the Phoenix Lights were a spectacular event, a spectacular incident that took place. But you've heard me say many times that Phoenix, before the Phoenix Lights, and since the Phoenix Lights, is a hotspot for unidentified aerial phenomena. Some people call them UFOs. I refer to them most often as UFOs. I think when we say UFOs, most people, though, think of, it comes to their mind, flying saucer. Well, if I meant flying saucer, I would say flying saucer. A UFO is unidentified, it's in the air, and it's some kind of object. It may be a vehicle. It may be an unmanned probe. It may be terrestrial. It may be extraterrestrial. It may be a living entity. But it's in the air, and people can see it. Cameras can photograph it. So it's not a hallucination. And we don't know what it is. Well, one of the people who has done, I would say probably more than any other person, to document the aerial phenomena, the unidentified aerial phenomena over Phoenix, is Jeff Woolline. Now, we've talked with Jeff many times about South Mountain. We've talked with him about the White Tank Mountains. We've talked with him about the Australia Mountains and the phenomena that come and go, the aerial phenomena that come and go in and out of these mountains. And we've seen videos of these and that Jeff has shot, and we've talked about all of that. But recently, something happened that I don't think has happened before. A fleet of these things, a whole group, a flock, a fleet, a bunch, a herd of these things flew over Phoenix back in December 2009, just a few weeks ago. And Jeff caught them on videotape. We're going to be talking about that and a few other things tonight. Jeff Woolline, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Are you with me, Jeff? Well, I have to assure you folks, Jeff was with me, so let me just check. Okay, Jeff, can you hear me? Now, we had this happen the other night. I do not know. It's not our equipment. Our equipment is working just fine. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. I know how to fix it quickly. And we're going to go to a little bit of music, and then we'll be right back.
Choice, you have no voice over anything you see. From
right. We are back, and Jeff, we'll have to adjust your volume here, but can you still hear me? Well, for some reason, we're not able to hear you, but we're all right. I think that probably will do it. Jeff, December the 27th, you videotaped and photographed what you describe as a fleet of UFOs over Phoenix. So let's go back to December 27th, and you can describe it for us.
Okay. Can you hear me, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. The thing is, Jeff, I could hear you, but for some reason, your phone, when I push the button to bring you onto the broadcast equipment, your phone doesn't talk to the broadcast equipment. Now, I had that happen the other night, and but I know it's not the equipment because I can do other calls as I've done during the daytime, and it works. So I don't know. I have no explanation, and at this point, I don't care. We've got good audio, and so we've got you. Okay.
Okay.
So let's go back to December 27th. What happened?
Holy cow, Kevin! It was roughly about around 4 o'clock, I'd say, and I just calmly stepped outside to have a cigarette. And I'm always, watching the sky, so that's, what I do. And so I immediately, just happened to glance above the house, and here sits these two objects. They were motionless. They were, I guess, give or take, 2 blocks apart from each other, and they were just sitting there in the sky, and they were very close, give or take anywhere from 1,000 feet to maybe less than that. Clearly, two white orbs was sitting there, but one had this black thing on the bottom of it, and it seemed to, it seemed to move around in something like I've never seen before. So I sat there and I studied them to verify it wasn't balloons, and I quickly overlooked the sky around me. I checked the sky around, and those were the only two orbs that was sitting there motionless. So I ran in the house, and I'm yelling for my girlfriend, and I'm grabbing my camera. Hey, Michelle, you need to get out here. There's something out here. Quick, hurry. So by the time I get my camera and she goes out there, my son Josh was there also, and he comes running out. And by the time we all got out there, there was 5 in the sky, and I don't know where they came from. They just seemed to appear there, and I didn't have my regular video camera at the time. The one that I normally use is down right now, so I grabbed the best thing I could in his little Palm Pilot little capture device, and I just started filming, and as I was doing it, as we were watching, more was popping up, Kevin. It just seemed like they were there 1 minute, and then they weren't the next, and then they would come back again, and then they would stay there in formation, and the next thing we know, we had this line, and it seemed to be going east to south, southwest, and in a direction of the sun, and that was very interesting. And they just,
now, when you say they were going from east to southwest, do you mean that they were flying in that direction?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't see them like fly over the house. I just saw them immediately right over the house. And as we started filming, just more was popping in. I mean, they wasn't flying in. They wasn't coming from another direction. They were just appearing in the sky. And it was it looked like freckles. It looked like a constellation of stars, daytime. I mean, it was crazy. And I did the best I could to try to film these things. And there was a couple worms there. There was like 2 worms that I spotted. And clearly it wasn't some kind of, craft. This was something alive. This was moving around in the sky. It was whipping its tail around. And it was kind of freaky. My son jumped on his little camera that he tried to use, and he was zooming in on the thing and getting real good shots of it. Unfortunately, when I tried to upload it to the computer, it wasn't compatible for some reason. So I'm still working on that video, but we do still have it. Excuse me. But they were doing these formations in the sky, and sometimes they would move, and then sometimes they would stay stationary. When I say like they were going towards the southwest, it seemed like they were popping up in that direction. Not necessarily moving, but just popping up and continuing to go in that direction. I can't explain it. And we sat there and filmed it as much as we could. Some of them were doing pyramid formations. It would do a triangle, a right side up triangle, and then it would kind of flicker out, and then it would be upside down triangle. We had massive boomerang looking things. I mean, they were in formation, what looked like a boomerang, and that was pretty intense. But the things that really amazed me was these flying what looked like worms or snakes or something. I did an interview with my son there on the videotape. You can see it on my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com. He's freaked out about it too. You know, he's watching this thing, and during his interview, he's like, "Yeah, it's kind of freaky," you know, because it was kind of freaky. But then again, it was magical. You know, it was like, holy cow, you just couldn't believe what was happening before your eyes, you know. And thank goodness I got, you know, as much as I could with the video camera. But it was something, Kevin.
How many of them were there?
Oh, my God. You know, now, Josh, when we started going out there, Josh was counting them. And he even says it out on the video there. You know, he's counting 21, 22. But just more. More was popping in. I give or take at least about 50. Anywhere from 45 to 50 of these white orbs were just everywhere. I mean, everywhere we looked, they were behind us. They were in front of us. They were on the side of us. They were just everywhere in the sky. And that lasted, we sat there and watched them for about maybe 3 to 4 minutes, and it seemed really fast, but I guess in a way it was kind of long for something like that to happen. So it lasted about 4 minutes, and I stopped taking videos, and I started taking still photos of it, you know, with this camera, and I put some of them up on my website there, and you can see the orbs. But then all of a sudden, they started disappearing. They started popping off, you know. My girlfriend ran in the house to go get her binoculars and stuff, and I was kind of upset that she was missing it, you know. So I ran in after her. After I noticed she was kind of gone, I kind of ran in after her, and I was like, what are you doing? And I finally went back outside to check up on them, and when I went outside, gone, nothing, but one. One was up in the sky right above the house. And he was, I really felt like this thing was staring at me, Kevin. And I looked up, and it really seemed to, like, dart down at me, actually. I mean, it looked like it was, like, coming fast down. And it freaked me out. I got an uneasy feeling, and I ran back in the house for cover because I was kind of afraid at the time. And I was like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I got to get out there and film the damn thing. So I ran outside, and it was gone. And It was intense. I've seen other people's videos of cluster orbs. You know, when you search YouTube, you can find many orbs, many fleet sightings. California and New York, oh my gosh, Kevin, they're really getting some fleets out there. If you just do a little bit of research and search YouTube, you can find some real neat fleets. And it's the exact same thing as we saw. And I took my girlfriend into the house, you know, right after that, and I pulled a couple up, and she's like, that's what we saw, and I was like, yeah, you know, I was like, we're not the only ones seeing this. This is happening around the world, and she was amazed.
Jeff, you mentioned that there were some boomerangs, and you said they were huge. Describe those for us. How big were they, and what color were they?
Well, when I say boomerang, they're in the formation of a boomerang. You can kind of see it. You really have to look closely on the video there. I slow it down, you know, for the audience to get a better look at what I'm filming. And when you're looking at it, they're in a boomerang formation.
Oh, okay. So it's the individual orbs.
That's right.
But they've formed up in a boomerang formation.
That's correct. That's right.
Mm-hmm. How big do you think these orbs would be?
It was really, really hard to tell. Some of them were higher than the other. Some of them were, you know, stationary with each other. And it was like they wouldn't move, like, you know, away from each other, or they wouldn't, like, go up and then come down. It was just like they were there. They did this neat formation, and then they kind of, you know, disappeared and stuff. And it was really hard to tell. That one serpent that I saw, he looked pretty big, at least the size of a house. So if he was up there a good 1,000 feet for me to see something like that, then he had to have been at least a size of a house. So they were pretty big. So
I understand that you were not using the camera that you normally use, which, by the way, gets very good shots of these things. But you were using a little consumer grade video camera that you had. But using that, did you get any video of this worm or serpent?
Well, you know, at the beginning of it, when you watch the video, you'll see a bunch of, very light white orbs and then a very dark orb. Now, that's the serpent, and if you watch it a little bit, you can kind of see that he's not clearly an orb. He's kind of something else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The other ones are perfectly white spheres, you know, perfectly circled. But the dark white one, the bigger white one, he's kind of an orb, but then he's kind of not, you know, and
mm-hmm.
he's really big. And that was the one that I was mostly trying to get. I mean, because they were behind us, and my girlfriend's screaming, "Jeff, they're behind us. And I go, "Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to get this snake, okay, because he's cool." You know, I'm trying to get this. So I did the best that I could, and then my son's like, "Look, there's a line over there." And that's when I just kind of turned my camera, and I'm like, look at him all over the place. I was just amazed, you know. And but you know what, Kevin? This did happen before.
Jeff, I hate to cut you off, but I have to. We're headed into a break. We'll be back right after this, and we'll pick up right there, Jeff. I don't know if Jerry Wills happens to be tuned in tonight, but he has heard me say on many an occasion that Murphy lives in studios. And Murphy does live in the Kevin Smith Show studio. If there's anything that can go wrong, it will go wrong. I took Jeff completely off the broadcast equipment and put him on a speakerphone, and then when we went to break, the speakerphone died. And so we had to hurriedly find the spare telephone. Here it is. The spare telephone had to be dug out of the closet by the producer out of storage, and we've got Jeff back with us. So I apologize for the extra time in the break. I am a little bit out of breath because what you couldn't see is I was running from one room to another. Okay. All right. Jeff, are you with us? Well, it looks as if this is not going to work. Okay, Jeff, we're going to try and mic you on the speakerphone again, okay? I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. We may just have to go to open line and just deal with it from there. Let's see if we can get this situated just right. All right. I don't know. Can you hear me, Jeff? All right, ladies and gentlemen, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go open line, and we'll just see if we can make this make this show happen. I have no idea, none whatsoever, why telephones are not working. There are now four different telephone systems in this studio. They will work. If I pick up the phone to call, you will hear. Yeah, you can hear. The phones work. Why we can't get Jeff, I don't know. Why we can't keep Jeff. Okay, Jeff, are you with me? All right. One of the things that is absolutely certain is that the telephone systems have become demon-possessed. We cannot get Jeff and keep Jeff on the telephone, and I do not know why. No idea why. But apparently there is... There's not going to be a possibility. So we'll go open line, and the telephone number, if you wish to give me a call, is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? And, well, again, we don't know why. We have no idea why, but let's see if we can bring this caller up on speakerphone. Caller, are you able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty good.
Okay, well, we can hear you barely. So, man, I haven't had... You know, the other night when Frances Barwood was on, she was having trouble with her phones. And... So, I had to do the best we could. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can barely hear you.
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Yeah, Kevin.
I hope I'm not coming in too loud.
You're barely coming in, Kevin. Go ahead with your question or your comment, and we'll just try to boost the audio as much as we can.
Well... the audio wasn't coming through on the video feed. It just came back within the last minute, just to let you know. And of course, I'm not surprised to see these kind of problems happening.
I have no explanation for it. It's not our equipment. The equipment is working. It's the connections that aren't working. I've got you on a telephone we never use. Okay? And it's a complete spare. And if we didn't have it, we wouldn't have you online. So what we're going to do is just try to limp through here till we get to the next break. And when we get to the next break, I will do a workaround like I did with Frances Barwood and see if we can get Jeff back.
Yeah, that'd be good. You know, our freedoms are pretty much null and void. And, of course, these kind of attacks are pretty much a testament to that. Our freedom of speech has obviously gone out the window, and our freedoms here in Canada just went out the window. The freedom to put in my mouth and in my stomach what I want to put is now gone out the window.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, though, we don't know for sure that this is an attack. There may be some kind of line trouble. See, Jeff is in the Phoenix area, and I'm in the Phoenix area, and there could be some kind of telephone line problem between him and me. That may I don't know yet that it's actually an attack.
Mm. Well, you and I, we've spoken quite a few times, and I'm like really long distance. I don't know if it's the phone lines or not. It could be local.
Well, yeah, it could be something local here, some kind of construction or something where they have dug into a line or something. I don't know. But I'm not willing yet to say it's an attack, because obviously you and I can talk.
Yeah, obviously. Well, I do hope Jeff can get back on there pretty soon. But yeah, I guess I wanted to bring that issue up on, especially for our Canadian listeners who may not be aware, because not many people are, that your freedom for for natural medicines and natural food has now gone out the window. If you get caught with natural medicines that are not approved by the government, you can actually be arrested now.
What's the charge?
If I tell people, they're using practicing medicine without a license and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tell somebody that honey can actually help with your cold, mm-hmm. and you don't have a medical license, they can come into your residence without a warrant and search your premises. And if they find that honey in your cupboards, they can arrest you for practicing medicine without a license. And they're using the war on drugs as a reason to do it.
All right, Kevin. Since you're in broadcasting, I'm going to use you for a guinea pig here. I've flipped a couple of switches here to bypass some stuff. I'm going to push a button, and I want to see if we can hear you over the broadcast equipment. All right, can you hear me, Kevin?
Can you hear me?
No, we could not hear you.
I could hear you, but I guess you couldn't hear me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you should get a Warbeck board. Maybe that'll help you.
It's not the board.
It's not the board, huh? Yeah, it's got to be the line then.
Yeah. So, well, see, this is a phone that's not hooked to the broadcast equipment. I just did something to see if I could run it through there, but didn't work. All right, so you cannot, you can't go buy health food and, I guess health food you can, but you cannot go buy any kind of health supplements, I guess, unless they're government approved.
Yeah, and health food stores are going to be shut down because the ones that are providing these health foods and natural foods and natural medicines,
yeah,
they don't have a medical nor pharmacology license to sell pharmaceuticals and like a pharmacist,
uh-huh.
or a doctor. Therefore, all the health food stores in this country are going to be shut down.
Wow.
Yeah, it's downright ridiculous.
I know there's a big move across Europe to do this. And I know there is a move within the United States to do this, but what's the reasoning? What's the reasoning behind this?
Well, it's called the code. It's the Codex Alimentarius program. It's exactly what it is. I call it the Codex Bill. It's Bill C-6 that was passed. After Stephen Harper had shut down Parliament, therefore he was pretty much running as a dictator. When he passed this law, this is a pretty draconian law, big time. It's like communist. It's a communist law, and you know it's all part of this global central control grid. It's to get people to dependent on the government issued the pharmaceutical industry, to get people, you know, pretty much centralized into the global central system.
All right, we have to take a break. And we'll be back, folks. I'll see what I can do with the phones during the break. Maybe nothing, but we'll see. You know, one of the things that I do on the Kevin Smith, or with the Kevin Smith Show, not on the show, I do some training seminars, some classes for people just getting started in broadcasting, just getting started with their own shows. And I put them on video and I talk to them about this sort of thing happening. And I say it's at times like that you find out whether it's a hobby or if you're a pro. Well, if it's a hobby, you just turn everything off and walk away. If you're a pro, you try to fix it. So one of the things that we're trying to get working is the telephone lines that I use, local lines, are not working. They're dead. I'm using a phone system that I never use, and I routed the telephone number to that phone system. So this is one we never use. It's working, and it's not a local line here. But what we'll try to do, we tried to have Jeff Woolline on, and Jeff, if you're listening to the show, I apologize. I don't know what happened. We went to break, and everything broke. Everything just disconnected. And so we'll try to get, I'll check with Jeff and see if we can get him back on either tomorrow or Friday and try to have things up and running and working, and hopefully we will. So we've gone open line for tonight, and what we're doing with open line is we'll talk about whatever's on your mind, and I might have a thing or two to bring to the table as well. We'll see. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey there, it's Bob from California.
Hey, Bob.
Hi there. Whatever's going wrong there and within our government and the world, I ain't going to touch with a 10-foot pole. I don't know what's going on there and with our world anymore. It's almost like Armageddon. It's kind of amazing how close the Bible is to it. I'm waiting for a serial number on our foreheads by a laser. I want to say hi to Jeff if he's listening, and shout out to Brett from Wyoming. Curious if he's going to call in the next day or two. I always enjoy what he says. And the issue that I guess I'd bring up would be when we were talking about holograms last night.
Uh-huh.
I believe that what's happening in the Ukraine could possibly be human technology. I believe that most UFOs we see, it might not be, but I believe that most UFOs we see are our technology. However, the phenomenon is extremely real.
All right, now, what do you said what's happening in the Ukraine. What are you referring to?
The spiral thing with the holographic-looking projection through it.
Okay, are you referring to what we've been calling the Norway spiral?
Yeah, I was leaning towards something different, and I'm kind of leaning towards our technology, because we've got to be so advanced right now. I mean, we got to admit that. But my thing was, with the holograms, we were talking about how we can make things look like orbs and stuff. And I came up with the fact that we've seen UFOs, orbs, go from one side of a horizon all the way to the other for thousands of miles, as far as I know, or at least hundreds of miles. And it makes me think that if it is a hologram projection, the device that makes it has to be in the middle of the orb that we see. And it kind of makes sense when you were talking about the plasma or the... what are those things? The plasma ball type things with the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
It's my belief that I don't think we really, I don't know, we might, but I don't think we have the technology to take a hologram projection if it's not in it itself, because these things go hundreds of miles. I mean, if this is based on the ground, how do you make such a bright light source without, like, just go that far? What do you think?
Well, what if your holographic equipment is on a satellite? And
that's a good point right there, Kevin.
You could make it move rapidly across the sky or appear. You know, the satellite just holds its position and projects to one spot, and the Earth spins. So it appears to be moving.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And for all we know, there could be different types, you know. I mean, some of them could be aliens, some of them could be entity beings, and some of it can be ours from the satellite. We don't know, but we do know it exists. And I guess that's the important thing. I don't know. I don't have a lot to bring to the table tonight. Thought I'd just call in, and maybe Brent can call in, or we can hear his view on some of the stuff going on.
You just called in to rescue me, huh?
No. I wanted to say hi to Jeff and Brent, and I was wondering about the hologram thing, because I could not figure out how we would do it. And you brought some pretty interesting evidence to the table tonight, so I appreciate it, and good luck with all of that. I'm glad I'm not in your shoes.
Well, thank you very much. You couldn't be in my shoes because I'm barefooted. I know I'm sitting here with, you know, the tie and everything, but I'm wearing jeans, and I kicked my shoes off just before showtime, so anyway... 623-444-5889. The graphic that's coming up on your screen, for those of you who are watching, has Jeff Woolline's picture. As you know, our equipment is working, but the telephone lines are not. And so I'm using a system we never use, and we're doing it old style. And but we've gone open line. But the telephone numbers are up on your screen, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Alan. I'm in Missouri.
Okay, Alan, do me a favor and reach around there and turn that volume down on that radio or computer, because we're hearing the show in delay back there. Okay, Alan in Missouri, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something kind of funny. About a year ago, I went out and bought me some night vision. And I looked at the skies, and I saw the same things that you all have been talking about. And my wife saw some things that we don't discuss what we see with each other. And everything was going pretty good. I got a lot of hours in out there watching the skies. And then I quit watching. And I loaned my night vision out to my brother and just stopped looking at stuff. Because I saw some things that I thought was pretty weird. But last night's show, you kind of brought it all around, with your guest did. I saw what looked like fish up there, giant fish. Bat rays, stingrays, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. eels, and things like that. And your show last night mentioned that, and that's the first time. And I had mentioned that to her. We didn't talk about it, but I mentioned that to her. And whenever I heard that last night, I jumped up and down in the air. You should have seen it. Finally had some validation.
Well,
and then you talked tonight a little bit about seeing live things in the air.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just speculation on my part. I don't know if, in fact, my little theory is valid. I don't know if it's real. It's a valid theory, but I don't know if it's reality. But with all of the electronic stuff that we're charging the air with around the Earth, charging the space around the Earth, with all of that, if there was any kind of life form living there, I think we would be stirring them up. And
well,
I think
yeah, remember that the video on the tether incident?
Yeah.
That looked like little critters swarming around that. I mean, it looks just like little things you see in the... I grew up in Panama, Republic of Panama, Panama Canal. We used to go out to the coral reefs.
Mm-hmm.
And just look at the critters on the bottom swimming around. That's exactly what those look like going around the tether.
Yeah. I mean, loads and loads of people have seen these living things flying around in the sky, and they don't know what they are. But all different shapes and you know, different kinds. One of the most common, though, if you look up and do a real in-depth search on flying serpents, you will find news reports from late 19th and early 20th century where people reported seeing flying serpents. We have to take a break. I want to thank you for your call. Very interesting stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back right after this.
Arizona, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Unexpectedly open line tonight. 623-444-5889 and the toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Yeah, Kevin.
I was wondering what your thoughts were on, usually on TV shows when they discover something alien or extraterrestrial and they want to check it for an extra element to confirm it. And how ridiculous that seems to only confirm it based on it having an unknown element.
Well, what they do, it depends what they're checking for. But, I mean, what they do is they look at the isotope ratios in the object, whatever it is. And each planet has its own isotope ratios. It's like a fingerprint. So if it's a piece of something that got blasted off of another planet, they can tell immediately which planet. That's how they can identify a meteor is from Mars, or this is a rock that came from the moon, or whatever, because they have already mapped the isotopes ratios on all the planets. And so that's what they're looking for. So if it doesn't have the fingerprint of Earth isotope ratios, then it is extraterrestrial. Extraterrestrial simply means off Earth. It's not from Earth. And so they can pretty easily tell if it is extraterrestrial.
Okay. I also wanted to get your opinion on organic engines or organic power sources.
I don't know that I really have an opinion on organic engines or organic power sources. Be a little bit more specific. What are we talking about?
I've seen on some shows that they claim that some UFOs have had, like, living engines or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, some of the UFO documentaries that have been produced over the years talk about the entire craft being alive, and that there's some sort of a mind meld between the craft and the pilot, and that's how they actually pilot the craft. I really don't have an opinion on that. I've heard about that, but I really don't know. I will tell you that back in the late 60s and early to mid 70s, somewhere in that period, say 1965 to 1975, somewhere along in there. Well, actually, I guess it was earlier than that, 1960 to 1970, about that decade. Somewhere in there, I saw a film at school. It was a film that our science teacher showed us, and it showed scientists working, and I cannot absolutely swear to this, but I think it was Bell Laboratories. And what they were working on way back then was developing biological computers, living computers, using living tissue to do what computers do. Now, if they were working on it back then, I would suspect they have them operational now. And if we can imagine to do something like that, and if we can actually accomplish it, then I certainly think that any intelligent off-Earth race would be able to do the same thing.
All right.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's I have to apologize. You hear that roar in the background when I put a caller on. And the reason for that is because we're having to do what we did with Francis Barwood, and that is the speakerphone has a microphone dangling over it. Very, very low-tech, old-style. And I have to turn that microphone on maximum in order for you to get the caller. And so you're hearing a roar in the background. I apologize for that, but there's nothing I can do about it. Until after the show. Then we will go through everything and try to figure out what's up. Callers are the audience who are outside of the USA and who are outside of Canada. You can call me at 623-444-5889. That works anywhere in the world. Or you can use our flash message feature on the website, as a number already have, and we'll read it, okay? This one from Claudio in Chile. Kevin, I can't use the audio player. Is there another way to listen to your program? And the answer is yes, absolutely. That's why we have alternative listen links listed right under that big gray square that says listen or watch, right under that. Alternative links. All right, let's see what we've got here from Germany. Ralph writes, you might know already, Kevin, but after the break, there is no sound at all to be heard. Strange break, by the way. Frozen images, hardly any sound. Yeah, I know. Weird things were happening. What? First, you have to understand, it's not a video show. It's a radio show. If anything suffers, it will always be the video first. And we take care of the radio signal, number one, and video comes second. So when we're unplugging things and replugging things, it may disturb the video signal. That's because it's a radio show. And so you experience the disturbance that comes when we're unplugging, replugging, switching things around, trying to bypass. That always will happen. Okay? And if if that is really disturbing to you, then, and I'm not saying to you, Ralph, I'm saying to everyone in the audience, if that sort of thing really disturbs you, well, it's a radio show. So just listen to the radio feed. All right, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Open line. We'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about. There are people that send me hate mail. Now, this doesn't bother me. I've been at this for 10 years, and if I could stack up the hate mail that I have received over the years, it would be a rather high stack. But there are certain topics that any time I bring it up, I get this hate mail. And, you know what I say? I believe in freedom of speech. If you hate me, I'd rather you say it. I am a lot safer when a rattlesnake can be heard. If you cut off a rattlesnake's rattle, you can't hear him. But he's still just as poisonous and just as deadly. It's a lot safer for me if you hate me and you'll just go ahead and say it, and then I can hear the rattle. But I get hate mail anytime I start talking about global warming. And I find that it's very interesting because the global warming crowd try very often, in fact in majority, to present themselves as sort of peace, love, and hope. We're all going to come together as one world, one people, one, everything one. And we have to do this in order to save our planet because of global warming. Well, I am not one with, nor will I ever be one with, fanatics who want to kill other people and, you know, want to commit acts of terrorism. I'm not one with them. I am not one with people who want to destroy the United States of America, and that includes politicians who want to destroy it. But it also includes a lot of people out in the general public who want it destroyed. I am not one with them, nor shall I ever be. And I have no intention ever of being one with them. I am avowedly in opposition to those things, and always will be. There are people who think that if you talk about global warming and you say that it's a fraud, that it isn't real, they will automatically then do their raving banshee jump to the conclusion that you're somehow opposed to environmentalism. And that's not true. I mean, that's just nutty. That's silly. Now, I am very much in favor of a clean environment. I'm very much in favor of using whatever knowledge we have to develop whatever technology we need to get away from fuels that are made from hydrocarbons. Gasoline, diesel, whatever other fuels are made from hydrocarbons. But here's the reason. It isn't because of global warming. It's because that stuff's poisonous. And we're pumping it into the air, and it cannot be good for us. It's got to be poisonous. It is poisonous. If you start your car engine and you're in a garage and you pull the door down and you just sit in there in the garage, what do you think will happen? You'll die, because that stuff's poison. It will kill you. And so I am for a clean environment. I am for clean water, clean air. I'm very much in favor of that. But that doesn't mean that because I'm in favor of that, I'm in favor of buying bilge water that's been put out, fraudulent stuff that's been put out about global warming. Global warming is a fraud. There is now good documentation for this. And the documentation is in the form of emails sent back and forth between the scientists who are responsible for producing the data that was used to support the idea that global warming was a reality. Now, those scientists, you need to understand, are in a tremendous minority position. The vast majority of scientists that have anything at all to do with the science of weather, the science of climatology, earth sciences, the vast, vast, vast majority of them have said from the beginning that this stuff about global warming is fraudulent. They've said it from the beginning. Now, you got about 2,000 scientists that signed on to the IPCC, that report that was put out by the United Nations. But there was another report that was put out where over 30,000 scientists signed up, and in that group of 30,000, they had about 9,000 PhDs. So just the PhDs in that group outnumber the entire group that put out the IPCC. And that entire group that put out the UN report, the number of PhDs that they had in their 2,000 would number in the hundreds. And they're not all related to climatology and meteorology and earth sciences. Well, last year, we found out right at the end of the year through those emails that these scientists have been swapping with each other, that they had been, and to use their word, cooking the data. In 2007, there was a report issued by the UN. It's called the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, a UN-affiliated body. It is the IPCC. In this report, scientists discovered five glaring errors having to do with just one area of the IPCC. It has to do with a half-page section dealing with the shrinking glaciers in the Himalayas. And that's just, you know, one section, and it's just one half page or so, and five glaring factual errors. The first error starts out, glaciers, and I'm quoting, glaciers in the Himalayas are receding faster than in any other part of the world. That's not true. According, and the scientists that caught these errors, and are at least they're admitting to them now, are scientists that helped produce the report. But since the IPCC base data was exposed as fraudulent, since that time, they have now come out and said, there's some errors here. And sort of, I can't say that this is exactly the way it actually went down, but it sure seems like now that the main group of scientists that were cooking the data have been busted on that, now the other scientists are coming out and saying, we better admit to this before it becomes public knowledge. Let's be the ones to bring it out ourselves. And it's like, oh, we just found out. The second error is it says that if the Earth continues to warm, the, quote, likelihood of those glaciers in the Himalayas disappearing by the by 2035 and perhaps sooner is very high. Now think about that. 2035 is not that far away. 25 years from now. And this report, IPCC report, the basis for the movie that won the Nobel Prize, it says that it'll happen by 2035 and perhaps even sooner. That's not true. There is a study from Russia that says they may disappear by 2350. Well, now, see, that's 340 years from now. The third, and this is really very glaringly interesting, the third paragraph says, talking about the area of this, the glaciers in the Himalayas, and I quote, this is from the IPCC report, its total area will likely shrink from the present 500,000 square kilometers, 500,000 to 100,000 square kilometers by the year 2035. Well, the problem with that is that there is not 500,000 square kilometers of glacier. There's 33,000 square kilometers of glaciers in the Himalayas. So where did that come from? I mean, that's just snatched out of the air. That's just total, complete fabrication. Let me read it to you again. We'll be headed to a break in a moment. When we come back from the break, I'll open the phones again. Its total area, speaking of the total area of the glaciers in the Himalayas, its total area will likely shrink from the present 500,000 to 100,000 square kilometers by the year 2035. Well, first of all, there's only one report that even says they may be in danger, and that's a Russian study, and it says by 2350, not 2035. So they're off by 340 years, or by about 315 years. Okay? But then they make the mistake about 500,000 kilometers, square kilometers of glaciers are going to shrink to 100,000. Well, there's not even 100,000 to start with. There's 33,000 to start with. Pretty interesting, huh? The entire paragraph that these five eras appear in is attributed to the World Wildlife Fund. But in fact, there's only one sentence that comes from the World Wildlife Fund, and they were citing popular press. The World Wildlife Fund was not citing science. They were citing popular press. But that sentence was lifted and put into this paragraph, and then the whole paragraph was attributed to the World Wildlife Fund, which in itself is interesting because the IPCC likes to brag that it's based on peer-reviewed science, not advocacy group reports. The World Wildlife Fund is an advocacy group, and they weren't even quoting science. They were quoting popular press. But the UN committee lifted that one sentence, put it into their report, put it into a big paragraph, attributed the whole paragraph to the World Wildlife Fund, and then told the world it's all based on peer-reviewed science. Balderdash. We'll be back. Flying a 747 without hydraulics, this is the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone lines are once again open, 623-444-5889. And if you have a question or if you have a comment, it is open line. That means we'll talk about whatever it is you wish to talk about. You can give me a call at 623-444-5889 or on our toll-free number. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If, in fact, you don't live in Canada and you don't live in the USA, the main number will still work. 623-444-5889 will work. But you can send me a flash message if you're outside the USA or Canada. Just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you'll see a link that says flash message. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tony from North Carolina.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, what you were talking about is so wild. They had to go back on their claim that the Himalayans were actually the glaciers were actually going away, because they said it was only some kind of news report. It wasn't based on scientific information. So what do you think about that?
Well, what I think about it is that, you know, the when the movie came out called, what was it, Inconvenient Truth or something like that, and over in England in the UK, they were showing this, or they showed it in to some school children, and some parents filed a complaint in court. Because they said it is not scientific, and it is primarily political propaganda. The courts in Great Britain ruled that, in fact, it was primarily political propaganda, and they listed 10 points about the movie that were absolutely, provably not true. And that the courts did that. And so the courts ruled that it cannot be shown in the schools over there unless the school sends a notice to the parents saying that it's a political propaganda film and the parents have to give permission for their children to watch it. So what do you think about that?
That is very interesting. I mean, you know, it just makes me wonder, you know, all these people trying to make money off this global warming and global everything, you know, it's just weird.
Well, it is a manufactured, well, it's a fictional crisis. It's not, it doesn't exist. We are right now in an ice age by definition. And I saw on television where weather scientists are saying it's going to intensify, and we're going to have a mini ice age, and it's going to be for about the next 20 years. It will continue to intensify this way. So it's definitely not global warming. It's global cooling that's happening. And, you know, you've heard me say on the show, Tony, I'm not saying there's not climate change, but let's tell the truth about it. You know, if you tell me to pack, I'm going on a trip, and you tell me to pack for the tropics, and then you take me to Antarctica, that's pretty cruel. And that's basically what the global warming fraud is all about. They're telling us pack for the tropics, but we're headed to Antarctica. So, you know, that's not only fraudulent, that's cruel. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you're saying, and I hate it that they're teaching our kids such stupid stuff, but, you know, that's just the way our world is now.
Well, I'll tell you this, and then I have to move along because I have another call lined up here. But I went to the premiere of a movie that took place here in the Phoenix area, and we had to park blocks and blocks and blocks away. And so we're walking to the theater where this movie's going to premiere. Get there, and out in front, we're actually about half a block from the theater, and all out on the sidewalk in front, there are all of these college kids with clipboards, and we were approached. And the young lady says, wants me to sign a petition against global warming. And I said, well, how's that going to stop global warming? And she said, well, you know, we're going to send these to the president and send these to Congress, and we just want them to know that we're behind anything they can do to help the situation. I said, okay, I'll sign it. If you'll tell me, what's the answer to this? There's global warming on every planet in the solar system, and there's not any humans out there on those planets. How are they having global warming? If our global warming is being caused by us, why are all those other planets having global warming? And if they are, what's the answer? It's not us. If you can answer how it is that humans are causing global warming on Mars, I'll sign your petition. And she got a really strange look on her face, like that's the first time she had ever heard that. these people, a lot of the people, the foot soldiers in the global warming fraud, are completely uninformed and totally, completely baffled with the BS that comes from the pseudoscience that produced this report. Tony, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. I'll get hate mail for this. But see, the truth is inconvenient when you would prefer to believe the lie. The truth is very, very inconvenient in the face of the lie. I don't know of anyone that's saying there's no climate change. There is. There's climate. There's been climate change my entire life. Been climate change for centuries before me, for millennia before me, and for millions of years before me. If there was no climate change, folks, this Earth would still be uninhabitable. It's climate change that got us to where we are. And what makes you think that just because you showed up, it's going to stop changing, and it's just going to stay like it is? I mean, what gives us the idea that just because we're here now, here we are, we're here now, so everything is supposed to just stop and be rosy and wonderful for the rest of time? It's been changing, and it will continue to change. But I didn't cause it. You didn't cause it. And it is fiction. It is fraudulent fiction. At least, see, with fiction, we know, with a novel, we know going into it that it is a novel. No one's pulling the wool over our eyes or trying to. We know right up front when we open the book, we know that it is fiction. But when you take something like the IPCC report and try to pass that off as though that's peer-reviewed science, when in fact it's full of fiction, it's not fiction, it's fraud. It's just fraud. Now, in some cases, there were errors. In other cases, it's absolute bold-faced fraud. How can you make this error that the Himalayas are going to shrink from, the Himalayan glaciers are going to shrink from 500,000 to 100,000 square kilometers? How can you do that when there's not even 100,000 square kilometers to start with? That's fraud. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Kevin. I had to do a YouTube search for, it's Global Warming, The Other Side, because your links in your thing were broken. But anyway, what I found interesting is that instead of having the 6,000 temperature recording places they had on the globe in the 70s and early 80s, they're down to 1,000. California has 3.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco and 2 down by San Diego. They don't want to know what's going on in the mountains. They're extrapolating temperatures for the top of the Andes from Chile. That's fraud.
Well, it is if what they're trying to do is tell us that this is an accurate picture. Now, if they admit to us up front, if they say, look, this is an incomplete picture, we don't have enough monitoring stations, so we don't really know, but here's what we've got. That would not be fraud.
Except for one slight problem. All the stations are still reported. They're just eliminating 5,000 of them. They don't want anything to do with the mountains.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah. That's my thought.
Okay. Well, look, thanks for the call.
Yeah, bye.
All right. Yeah, it's, if they were to tell us, look, let me give you a good example. On my bookshelf over here, I have some DVDs that people have sent to me, and one of those DVDs is a movie called Day After Tomorrow. You've seen it, haven't you? You know about it. And this is a movie where the climate just goes to war with humanity. And we're plunged into an instantaneous ice age. We know when we fire up this movie, we know it's fiction. We know that maybe there's some science sort of behind it, like there is some kind of behind Star Trek. But we know it's a movie. We know it's fiction. We know it's not real. When you present something like that and do it as though it's real, as though it's true, that would be fraud. And the flip side of that would be, instead of plunging into an ice age, it's turning up the heat and calling it global warming. And you do that, and it's not based on actual science. It's based on manipulated data. And some, I've read to you right here from their own report, outright, I can't say lies, because, you know, that means that the people that wrote it knew it was fraudulent and did it anyway. I'm persuaded that's the case, but I cannot say that these people lied, because I don't know. I am persuaded they knew, but I don't know that they knew. So what I can say with some specificity and some accuracy here is, you know, these are outright, bold-faced inaccuracies, and then they want to put the whole world under their command based on that nonsense. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It has indeed been a hellacious night here, trying to keep things flying. Telephone number is 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. And we've got a flash message from Australia. From Blue, the question is, Kevin, do you think the round circle image above the southwest Australia was a solar flare, and does this have any relation to Haiti, to the Haiti earthquake, which was 6.1? I'm not familiar with the circular image that you're talking about. So, Blue, if you'll email me that, I will do as much research on it as I can and see what I can find out about it. But I'm not familiar with it. No one has emailed me any photos of that. So I would be really just talking in the dark if I were to give you any kind of an opinion about that. I don't know. You know, if you email me the photo, I will do my best to find out what I can about it. Okay? From Harriet in South Africa, you said there were five glaring errors in the IPCC report, but you've only talked about four. What's the fifth? Very observant, Harriet. And that's only because I just haven't gotten to number five yet. Here it is. There is a table that says that between the years of 1845 and 1965, the Pendari Glacier shrank by 2,840 meters. And it says that that's a rate of 135.2 meters a year. Well, it isn't. do the math. It's 23.5, not 135.2, but 23.5. Now, these guys that put this report together want basically to rule the world. They want to use global warming as the great scare tactic that enables the UN to become the one world government. Now, we know that. We know that. It's not speculation. In the Copenhagen Treaty that didn't get signed, the language of that treaty took away the sovereignty of nations over this area of climate control or climate science. And had that thing been enacted, had it been signed, there would have been global governance, which Al Gore talks about in beautiful flowing terms, and so does Bill Clinton, and so does Ban Ki-moon. He says we will impose global governance. That was the door that global government was going to step through. That was the door. The Copenhagen Treaty was the door they were going to use to come into your life and mine as the world government. Well, it didn't happen. They will find something new now. It's not global warming, and it's not chicken flu, and it's not pig flu. It's going to be something else. Everything they've tried, it hasn't worked. They'll keep trying until they finally get a one world government. But you see, I hope, and this is what's important here, I hope that you see by the tactics that they've used, which have now been exposed to the world, I hope you see that they are willing to absolutely give you false information, swear that it's true, swear that it's urgent, swear there's a crisis to try and stampede you into accepting their global governance. They've been caught. They were not just caught red-handed here. They were caught with their pants down right out in public. And I think it's a wonderful thing that they've been caught. And what I cannot understand, however, is the attitude, well, it's still true. Never mind those facts. It's still true. Do they actually have that? Do they have that attitude? Well, listen to this. You see, one of the scientists who made these errors public is also an author of the report, the IPCC report. He's one of the authors of it. And he says, I'm convinced that the great bulk of the work reported in the IPCC volumes was trustworthy and is trustworthy now as it was before the detection of this mistake. I will agree with the last part of his statement. I will agree it's as trustworthy now as it ever was, which is zero. But the first part of his statement is, I'm convinced that the great bulk of the work reported in the IPCC volumes was trustworthy. Well, I am not convinced of that. Not at all. I never have been convinced of that because of the fact that the majority of the scientists on this planet signed up on the other side and said, it's a fraud. Because most of the scientists on the planet signed up and said, this global warming report of the IPCC is full of errors. They signed up with a document that said that. Said it's full of errors. And it's based on computer models instead of reality. Well, you know, with a computer, you can make anything look real. Just look at all the stuff that's done in the UFO genre. People doing computer modeling and use computers and do CGI and make it look real. I mean, it really does look real, some of it. It's very hard to detect sometimes whether or not it is real. But, you know, you can take a computer and make the world appear to be anything you want it to appear to be. That doesn't mean it's real. Now, there are great calamities that await us in the future. How do I know that? Because I live on planet Earth. And this planet has undergone tremendous calamities all through its history. Whether it's a hurricane or earthquakes or tsunamis, whatever it may be, there are great calamities yet to come. So long as the Earth is here. It's been doing that since day one. I didn't cause any of them, nor did you. And I guarantee you, you cannot prevent them. Now, there may be some calamities that we might be able to influence a little bit, like an incoming asteroid. We might be able, with technology, to move an asteroid out of its collision path with Earth, if it's on a collision path with Earth. That might be a possibility. We may, however, find out there is so much kinetic energy involved even with the smallest asteroid, because it's traveling at tens of thousands of miles per hour. We may find that there's nothing we can do. One thing we can do, though, is be back tomorrow night. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.